Welcome, everyone. My name is Gail, for those who haven't met me yet, and I am the interim pastor here at East Doncaster Baptist Church. And can I just say, didn't we have just great Ian as the person who welcomed us, and also Graham reading Psalm 18. I gave him a very long psalm, but he did it so well. So today I'm continuing our series on finishing well, and I've entitled this message, Strength for the Race, Light for the Path. So, church, there are moments in the Christian life when Scripture not simply speaks to us, but actually speaks into us, into the marrow, into the breath, into the places where we are tired from running and unsure of how much further we can go on. I remember when I became a Christian at age 27, so I was a late starter, I had some baggage that needed healing, partly associated with being, as I've said before, an identical triplet, and finding it difficult to know who I really was. I hadn't individuated, because in all my life, my identity was part of this curious threesome that fascinated people, but rarely engendered a sense of individuality. We had the same friends, we were in the same school, we were dressed the same, and at times this novelty really became tiresome. I felt for many years a sense of not knowing how, who, or where I belonged. Coming to Christ was a transformative experience for me. The Anglican Church that both Warren and I had made our commitments encouraged prayer and scripture, and once a month I would spend an entire day at an Anglican retreat in Cheltenham where the Lord led me through to one scripture every month, the same scripture, Psalm 139. I don't know if any of you know that one, but if you don't know it, please look it up. It's a beautiful psalm. And every time I read that psalm, a bit like a Lectio Divina, I memorized it, something powerful and transformative occurred within me. Over a period of 18 months, repeatedly meditating on that psalm, I was healed completely of identity issues. I had not only read scripture, but scripture had read me. Hebrews 12 and Psalm 18 meet us in exactly that same place. Hebrews gives us the image of a race, a long, enduring race, not a sprint. A race run by saints before us, a race we now take up to throw off anything that hinders and focus on Jesus. And the comfort and support to know that there are people, some living and some passed away, that are championing you, when we reflect on it, is absolutely transformative. Because in chapter 12, verse 1, as we heard from Graham, Hebrews tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so a question one might ask is, what is this great cloud of witnesses? And there's a few answers to this. The first is that the writer of Hebrews, after completing that sublime chapter on faith in Hebrews 11, begins with the saints mentioned there. The people named in the previous chapter we could call the Great Hall of Faith. We have Abel, whose worship still speaks. We have Enoch, who walked with God. We have Noah, who trusted God against all evidence. We have Abraham and Sarah, who journeyed without knowing the destination. We have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, who blessed future generations in faith. We have Moses, who chose God over power. And we have Rahab, who sheltered God's people at her own risk. We've got Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. They all acted in courage, weakness, and trust. If you like, this is the first layer of that great cloud of witnesses. And the next would be the faithful of Israel's story. Apart from Hebrews 11, the cloud includes the whole story of God's people. Miriam singing deliverance, Hannah praying her heart out, Ruth choosing loyalty, Esther standing in courage, Elijah and Elisha calling a nation back to God, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the prophets who spoke truth in dark times, and the psalmists who prayed their way through fear, joy, and lament. They are witnesses not because they watched us, but because their lives testify to a faithful God. Then the cloud extends to the early church and the martyrs, and this includes Stephen, the first martyr, the apostles who carried the gospel into the world, the unnamed believers who held fast under persecution, the early church mothers and fathers who kept the flame of faith alive. Their witness is courage, endurance, and hope. The cloud then includes the faithful in every generation, the saints across the centuries, those who translated scripture, those who reformed the church, those who served the poor, those who prayed in hidden places, and those who journeyed to far-flung places to share the gospel. And we have those people right here in our church this week, the men's group, with a few women that were kind of planted in there as well, heard Bruce and his testimony of his life and Pauline's in Uzbekistan. And those who live quietly and faithfully in ordinary life, their stories, famous or forgotten, are part of the cloud. And lastly, the cloud includes the people who formed your faith. This is where it becomes deeply personal. Your cloud includes the grandmother who prayed for you, the pastor who first opened scripture to you, the friend who walked beside you through grief, the mentor who believed in your calling, the saint whose life showed you what love looks like, and the ones who have died in Christ and now rest in his presence. These are your witnesses, not spectators, but testifiers to the faithfulness of our God. And they surround you. There is this cloud, a vast, shimmering, human, unseen yet deeply present of those who have run before you. Their stories are real. They are wind at our backs, championing us to run and give us strength for the race. I wonder if there is a sense from any of you present here that there is a someone or someones who have gone before you, yet have surrounded you at times when you have felt the race is too hard, that finishing well is out of reach. Just want us to pause for a moment and in silence. I wonder if you can meditate on these two questions. If I were to imagine a cloud of witnesses surrounding me right now, could I name at least one or possibly more? Who are they? And if that person or persons were to speak to me now, what do I think they would say to me? Let's just pause for a moment and think about that. You know, I believe one thing without a doubt that they would say is God is faithful. Keep going. Finish well, however long that will be. And none of us know. And Psalm 18 gives us the God who equips us for this race of life and perseverance, and who also gave every person in that great cloud of witness that same equipping. They were human, just like us. This God is our rock, our refuge, shield, strength, and steady ground beneath our feet. But also in Psalm 18, we see the God who is human. It's curious, the God that can hear, empathize, and act with compassion and deliverance through his divine yet human understanding. David says things like, "My cry is heard by his ears, and smoke rises from his nostrils. A consuming fire comes from his mouth. Our God parted the heavens and comes down on dark clouds under his feet. Our God thundered from heaven with his voice resounding. Our God, at his rebuke, the valleys of the sea are exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare by the blast of breath from his nostrils. Our God reaches down from on high and takes hold of us, drawing us out of deep waters." Hebrews 12, 1-3 and Psalm 18 are companions. One speaks of the journey, the race of faithfulness and perseverance, with a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And the other, Psalm 18, speaks of the God who champions us, rescues us, sustains us in such an intimate and human way. Psalm 18 is not a quiet psalm. It is not polite or restrained. It is the cry of someone who has been to the edge, who has felt the waters rising, who has known the weight of fear, has stood in the dark valley and wondered if God still hears and sees. And then God comes. Not gently at first, not with a whisper, but with the fierce, protective love of a God who refuses to let his children down. David says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice." That is the summary of the whole psalm, really. It's not David's strength or his courage or strategy. It is God's hearing and empowerment. The God who hears is the God who moves. He is the God who comes in our distress. Psalm 18 paints a picture of God in motion, the earth trembling, the heavens bending, the darkness splitting open as God descends to rescue. And this is the truth of God's heart. When you cry out, God does not stay distant. God does not wait for you to tidy your emotions or find the right words to prove your faith. God comes. He comes into the chaos. He comes into the fear. He comes into the places where you feel most overwhelmed. And he comes not because you are strong, but because he delights in you. That line, "He rescued me because he delighted in me," is one of the most tender revelations in all scripture. The witness surrounds you. God upholds you. You are seen. You are heard. God's rescue is not reluctant. It is rooted in delight. When David says, "He brought me out into a spacious place," spaciousness is the opposite of the tight, constricted feeling of fear. Fear narrows, but grace widens. Spaciousness is the place where you can breathe again, where the walls stop closing in, where your soul has room to stretch. God does not simply pull you out of danger and rescues you. He leads you into freedom. For some of us, the spacious place is external, a change in circumstances, a lifting of pressure. For others, it is internal, a loosening of anxiety, a quietening of shame, a deep breath of peace. Either way, it is God's doing. And in Hebrews 12:1, the scriptures tell us to lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And there is tenderness in the way sin is described here. It clings so closely. Not the sins we boast about, but the ones that wrap around the ankles, the quiet resentments, the unspoken fears, the exhaustion we pretend isn't there, the self-doubt that whispers, you're not enough, or you're only a third of a person. Psalm 18 responds with a God who trains my hands for battle and makes my feet like the feet of a deer. This is not a God who shames your weakness. This is a God who strengthens your steps. To lay aside the weight is not to pretend it never existed. It is to hand it to the one who can carry it. I wonder how often and how difficult this is for us. I know at times it is easier to hold on to hurts, disappointments, comparisons, and injustices. But God wants us to let go. He wants us to let go of these and throw them off. For many years, I was a Christian counsellor, and one of the practices I did regularly was to ask that person to close their eyes and to seek God and to ask God what it is they were holding on to that wasn't God's for them to hold on to. Some sin, some injustice, some unforgiveness, whatever. And the practice of letting go of that and laying it at the foot of the cross and letting it go and realizing that the only person that's trapped is yourself is very liberating. So for just a moment, I'd like us to pause again, close our eyes, and listen to God that not only hears us, but we must also learn to hear him. And ask him what it is you need to throw off so that you can continue to run the race of life well. Just a few moments. See if you can hear God. Imagine what God is saying to you. And imagine you laying that thing at the foot of the cross. Letting God carry that weight rather than yourself. The race is long, church. The terrain is uneven, as we all know. We've all had experiences in our lives that have brought us challenges. Some days the path is clear, other days it is fogged with grief or uncertainty. But Psalm 18 gives us this promise. With my God, I can run against a troop. With my God, I can leap over a wall. And this isn't triumphalism. This is endurance. This is the quiet, stubborn, holy resilience that says, I will keep going because Christ has gone before me. Hebrews tells us how. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. Not looking to our own strength, not looking to our own performance, not looking to the approval of others, but fixing our gaze on the one who ran the race first, who ran it fully, who ran it for love. Jesus endured the cross, and we must ask, what joy could there possibly be in that? Because it wasn't for comfort or ease or applause. No, the joy was for you. Your redemption, your freedom, your restored relationship with God. Psalm 18 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. The God who delights in you is the same God who strengthens you. The Christ who endured for you is the same Christ who runs beside you. And so Hebrews ends with this invitation, consider him so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Consider him. When the path feels steep, when the night feels long, when the weight feels heavy, when the race feels endless, consider him, the one who endured, the one who overcame, the one who strengthens, the one who delights in you. When you know God has come for you, you love him differently. You trust him more deeply. You walk with him more steadily. When you know God has come for you, you begin to see your life, your race, your struggles, your hopes through the lens of a God who delights in you and equips you for every step. So a closing exhortation, church. When the waters rise, call out. When the path narrows, look up. When your strength fails, lean in. For the God who hears your cry is the God who comes with power, the God who leads you into spaciousness, the God who arms you with strength, the God who is your rock in every season, and the God who surrounds you with a great cloud of witnesses champions you on your way to the finish line, whenever that is going to be. So let me close with a blessing for you. May the Father, your rock and your refuge, strengthen the ground beneath your feet and surround your days with his steadfast love. May the Son who has run the race before you and for the joy set before him, endured the cross, lift your eyes, lighten your burdens, and lead you with his unwavering joy. May the Holy Spirit, breath of courage and fire of endurance, renew your strength, steady your steps, and keep your heart from growing weary. And as you go, may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and those great cloud of witnesses rest upon you, run beside you, and carry you in grace, now and always. Amen.